Well, this morning we're in Acts chapter 10, and what a fitting chapter for us to finish our Acts series in 2021 on, because this was the turning point where God began to challenge mindsets and prejudices amongst the Christian community in order to release the gospel into the Gentiles. And to see the gospel go from there all around the world, and somewhere along the way, it came to New Zealand, the furthest place from Jerusalem. And I'm not going to go too much into Acts 10 because that's really what we're going to be doing in the breakout rooms, but I just want to share this short message to encourage you. I want to ask you a question this morning. That first question is this: are you prejudiced? And, you know, if somebody asks us that, we normally get quite offended because there's a connotation to being prejudiced that is not very pleasant. You know, when I was a kid, I had one of my uncles was a doctor. He was a GP. And when we used to go and visit him, I used to love chewing gum. Being on the farm, we hardly ever got to the, to the local dairy or anything else like that. So when we had chewing gum, it was in my mouth and I was chewing flat out. And the only problem was is that people never taught me that you're not supposed to swallow it. And so I would chew my chewing gum and then I would swallow it when I had no more taste in it. And of course, I didn't realize that the body doesn't really break chewing gum down very well once you swallow it. And so my doctor uncle saw me do this and he said to, this is what he told me, he said, "It's very dangerous to swallow chewing gum because each piece of gum you swallow becomes like a piece on an internal necklace around your tummy. And if you swallow too much gum and the necklace joins up together, that's when you die." And so right from that point, I had an unalterable mindset in me that was completely prejudiced against chewing gum for years. So needless to say, ever since my doctor uncle told me that if I keep swallowing chewing gum and it joins up inside me in the middle, that I'm going to die, I've never swallowed a piece of gum ever since. And so what happens in life is that we pick up prejudices along the way. It might be a prejudice against a certain type of food. It might be a prejudice against a certain family that lives up the road from you, where you were told information that perhaps wasn't true, but it altered your opinion forever against that family. And so you began to handle yourself differently around that. So I want to have a look at what is the definition of prejudice. This is what the dictionary says: an unfair feeling of dislike for a person or group because of race, sex, or religion. For example, the organization fights against racial prejudice. Second definition: a feeling of like or dislike for someone or something, especially when it's not reasonable or logical. So, for example, we tend to make these kinds of decisions according to our own prejudices, or he has a prejudice against fast food restaurants. I hope none of you read the news article about the flies in the KFC this week. It makes you have a prejudice against fast food restaurants. Anyhow, so in Acts 10, this is what we find. Peter's in Joppa. He's having a bit of a break. He's on the rooftop and he's praying. And as he's praying, he goes into an open trance, which is a vision that you have when you're awake. And Peter had been taught from birth that to mix with Gentile people or non-Jewish descent was sinful. You never ate with them, you never mixed with them, you kept to your own people. And this had formed a prejudice in his mind in regard to mixing with non-Jewish people. So God begins to challenge this prejudice, this mindset that Peter has, and he lowers this blanket down from heaven, and inside the blanket there's all sorts of creepy crawlies and animals that are, to the Jewish mindset, unclean, that they would never eat. And God speaks to him and says, "Rise up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter rejects it. He says, "I'll never do that. I've never done it in my life. Why should I start now?" And then this happens three times. And then at the end of the third time, God says to him, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And so right there, Peter's mindset about unclean food was challenged. And he wasn't quite joining the dots up at the moment. But the amazing thing is that while this is all going on, a man has had a visit from an angel, and he's not a Jewish man. He's a Gentile man. He's a Roman citizen. And an angel has visited him and said to him, I'm going to call a man called Peter, and he's going to come and tell you about what you need to do in regards to me. And so they arrive at Peter's house straight after he's had this vision, and suddenly he's putting two and two together, and he's realized that God's breaking down his prejudices against Gentile people, and that he needs to go with these non-Jewish people and visit this man's house. So this is what we see happen. After he's had this vision that's really challenged him, he then finds himself going along to this house that's full of non-Jewish people. And so he breaks that prejudice down simply by being willing to go to start with. And in the same way, you know, I've been facing some prejudices of my own over the last, probably the last 10 years. And they've really been around what I considered to be a proper church. You know, a proper church, one with a band, a building, one with an ordained pastor. Perhaps that was part of a movement of churches. I see some of you smiling there. And I could never see house churches as proper churches. In fact, most of the time, I considered the house church movement was filled with rebellious Christians, people who didn't want to submit to the authority of a proper church. And that was until I started doing missionary trips up into Southeast Asia. And to my surprise, up in Southeast Asia, I found thousands of people who had come to Christ through house churches. Many of them had experienced incredible miracles, both physical miracles, miracles in their families, miracles where Jesus had turned up in their houses, in their villages, and had radically changed their lives and converted them. And so my mind started to be opened wider. And a lot of the meetings I conducted in Southeast Asia were in houses or in villages, many places where it was forbidden to actually preach the gospel. And so my mind, God began, just as he did with Peter, to challenge his mind of actually going and visiting a Gentile household. God began to start opening my own mind about the work of God being done in these houses all over the world. They were houses, they were miracle houses. They were houses where people were finding faith. They were houses where the sick were being healed, the lame were being healed. People were receiving both their spiritual eyesight, their natural eyesight. And then as I delved into a bit of recent church history in the last century, I found out in places like China, where they were forbidden to meet above the ground, that there was these networks of thousands of house churches that were meeting underground, under the radar of the governmental authorities, where God was doing incredible things. And I've seen some amazing video footage of house church meetings where they're worshiping God with all their hearts, and the Spirit of God is moving wave upon wave as people are squashed into these homes, houses of worship, like sardines in a can, as the Holy Spirit is moving upon them. So God challenged my mindset. And let's see what happens as Peter arrives at this house. And they said, Acts 10:22, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon to his house and to hear words from you. By the way, just prophetically, I believe right now we're going to begin to see a whole wave of angelic activity taking place around the world, where people are going to receive angelic visitations. Angels are no longer going to be hidden to our view, but we're going to begin to see them in amazing ways like we've never seen before. And then as we carry on down in the next verse, then he invited them and lodged them. He invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And look what happens in this next verse. And the following day, they entered Caesarea Now Cornelius was waiting for them. And, you know, this has been a familiar experience to me in many of my missionary trips, where sometimes people have been waiting for us. They've walked, some of them have walked 3 to 4 days just to come into a house church meeting and be in that meeting because they're so hungry for God. And this is exactly what had happened with Cornelius. He was waiting for Peter and his delegation to arrive and called together all of his relatives and his close friends. In other words, everyone that mattered the most to him had come to his house that day in expectation to hear from a man of God who was bringing the word of God to him. And so we carry on and we see in verse 44, as Peter preaches to this house that's filled with family, relatives, friends of Cornelius, look what happens. Absolutely outstanding. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. In other words, the Jews who were in the room with the non-Jews, the Gentiles, they were astonished. They were looking there with their mouths wide open, as many of them had come with Peter. And this is what they were astonished at, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Are you getting a feeling of what's going on here? And in this verse, how did they know the Holy Spirit had fallen on them? Well, this is just beautiful to read, because it's the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so in this house church meeting, Peter preaches the gospel. He's hardly even finished, and the Holy Spirit invades the room that they're all squashed up in, receiving the word of God. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon them, and suddenly they're all speaking in tongues, worshiping and magnifying God. And then Peter gets this incredible realization and this revelation, you know, which is the revelation, what God has cleansed, don't call uncommon. You know, he's received this revelation that there's no impartiality with the Lord, that everyone's on equal standing, both Jew and Gentile. God loves them equally, and he wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And in verse 47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? In other words, they had a reverse order. They had the baptism of the Spirit first, and then they got water baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Church, I want us to get excited about this journey that God has brought us into. And really, this journey began with me. I transitioned into this journey. People are saying to me, oh, that you're going down this journey just because of the governmental rules. And I was, that's not the trigger that set me down this journey. For those of you who have been walking with us for a while now, you remember in the first lockdown last year, God gave me a revelation that I preached on for 12 weeks in our church. I literally was, I had a blank piece of paper. I've got a photo of that piece of paper to this day, as God began to speak directly to me. And he said, these 5 shifts, James, these are what I'm activating prophetically in the body of Christ right now. This is what the hot iron of the Holy Spirit is beginning to iron out all the wrinkles in the body of Christ and bringing them into a reality of these 5 shifts. Number one, from distant to intimate. So often when church is built around a physical building, we talk about going to church as if the building is the church. And so often our own personal relationship is actually built on attending a physical building. God says, I want to remove the distance between me and my bride. I want to bring us into a place of intimacy. Second shift, from being attenders to disciples. That many in Christianity have reduced their walk down. It's become diluted down to a religious ritual of attending a church meeting in a building. God says, I want to shift that. I want to shift that to for my body to become disciples. And once they've become disciples, they can start making other disciples. Third shift, from hearers to doers. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want my body to be ones that are just hearing all the time. You know, like the Old Testament prophets would confront Israel and Judah, and time again, the confrontation was all about they were hearers only, but they were prostituting themselves to false idols, to the practices of other nations, and they weren't putting the word of God into practice. God says, I'm raising up a church right now who are going to be a church of hearers and doers also. Amen. And number four, from copycat to innovative. You know, the sad thing about Christianity in the 21st century is that at the advent of the internet, people jump on the internet, pastors jump on the internet, and they're just copying everything that they see. If they see a stage set up with bright lights and smoke machines, then suddenly next minute the church has got smoke machines and bright lights to try and attract people into it. And so the body of Christ has just been one whole copycat for many, many years now, and we've lost our innovation. We've lost the ability to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and to innovate off what he's been saying to us. And the fifth shift was, I want to move from attractional, which is let's ask people to come to church, and I want to release my body to go into the marketplace and begin to be Christ, the workplace, the marketplace, the public spaces, the malls, the shops, everywhere. I want to send my body, and I want them to become the mission field, and I want them to no longer just rely on inviting people to a church service where the pastor is the midwife and he does the altar call and he asks people to come to Christ. No, I want to send my body out for them to share the gospel and lead people to Christ for themselves. And so these five shifts came into my spirit. You can see them on our YouTube channel. All those messages are there from 2020. And so this is what I feel the Lord has been directing us to now. We had a prophecy in July from a prophetess who visited our church, and she said this, I heard the Lord say, I'm not toning you down, but I'm toning you up. And I heard the Lord say, I saw him rubbing his hands together. There is a season that is coming into this ministry, that's Faith Point, that all the other seasons have been preparing you for. And I see an anointing and a ministry shift in this church that God is toning you up. And so to be toned up, there's the little weakling that has the sand sprayed in his face on the beach by the big muscly guy. No, I'm just kidding. I remember that used to be in a lot of comics that I used to read when I was a kid. Take this product and you can be a big muscly guy on the beach instead of that little wimp. But toning up in the natural means that you've got to use the muscle that you have. Use it or lose it. It's as simple as that. And it doesn't take long to get pretty flabby if you're not exercising your natural muscles. And the reality of this is that spectators don't get fit by attending and watching a game. They get fit by going to the gym, stretching, lifting, running. That's how you get toned up, by doing the mahi, doing the hard work. Can you imagine someone going to a gym and they sit there with their towel and their water bottle and they're just watching everyone else work out? How creepy would that be? Ew. All the ladies in the gym would be going, oh, what a creep. But, you know, that's really what's happened to a lot of Christianity. We've come to church every week. We've sat on the pews. We've sung a few songs. And then we've watched the pastor work out. We've watched the worship leader work out. We've watched the worship team work out. And we haven't been building spiritual muscle of our own. And this is where I see the shift in this new season of every member being a minister. God is calling this prophetically a season of the day of the saints, where you and I, everyone knows how to pray for the sick. Everyone knows how to share the gospel. Everyone moves in a spirit of boldness instead of a spirit of fear. And so I see this next shift that's going on, where we're going to see things like every member a minister. We're moving from a spectator to a participator. A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in the church. A new boldness to share our faith. A desire for people to find Christ, that God's going to begin to plant fresh desires in people's lives for them to find out about God. Just out of nowhere, they're just going to find a desire. I want to know more about God. I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start. Maybe, oh, that guy at work, he says he's a Christian. I'm going to start with him. And we're going to find a supernatural desire that God plants in people's lives in Aotearoa for people to begin to ask questions about Christ. And an outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit, where we're using word of knowledge in the marketplace, not just in church meetings, but we're prophesying in the marketplace. We're laying hands on the sick. We're using the gift of discerning of spirits wherever we are, discerning a good spirit, discerning a bad spirit, where we're seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation, delivering people from sickness and from demons. But most of all, friends, I believe this is what we're going to see. We're going to see the army of God begin to arise in this next season. You know, Ezekiel was taken into this terrible, horrific vision of all these dry bones lying in a valley. And as he was looking at there, he was asked the question by the Lord, can these bones live? Well, you know, Lord, I believe this is going to be a season where resurrection life is coming into the church. And that army of dry bones is going to begin to come and flesh will be formed and people are going to rise. Some of you will not even be recognizable by this time next year, 12 months down the track. You've led people to Christ. You've prayed for the sick. You've exercised spiritual muscle. Woo! You're growing in the Lord. You've got a new confidence in your walk with God. Why is that going to happen? Because you're no longer relying on the pastor. You're no longer relying on the worship team to get you worshiping. You're going to learn to worship God at home. You're going to learn to put on that worship song and get into the presence of God, get into the Spirit of God, get into the very throne room of God and begin to access the treasures that God has for you as a saint of God. This is the day of the saints. This is the day where the army, the bride, begins to arise in resurrection life. And we see this enormous army of God beginning to arise around the planet. Friends, it's because we've been relying on others. We've been using them as a crutch for our own spirituality. And God wants to breathe his resurrection life into you. You know, Jesus, the Romans says this, Paul the Apostle said, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and lives in me if you've received his Son. You have the same power that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the same power that Jesus walked in is working and walking in you today. It's time to let that power out and see the world. And so I believe that as we go from macro to micro, as we go into groups where we're encouraging, exhorting, where we're sharing testimonies, where we're actually bringing our workmates and friends along to into a relaxed, authentic atmosphere where we're just normal Christians, normal Kiwis who are loving God together. We're sharing kai together. We're sharing a braai together. We're sharing food together as we gather people around and we're answering people's questions about God and we're sharing the gospel in a naturally but supernatural way. Friends, this is the transition that God is leading Faith Point Church into. And my plea with you is that you will actually walk this journey with us, that you'll put enough trust and faith in us to lead you into this new journey. Yes, I know it's walking upstream in a downstream church world. I know that it's something that may not be familiar to you, but I believe that as God begins to awaken this call within the body of Christ, we're going to see more and more churches around the world. I'm already aware of many in New Zealand that are starting to contemplate moving down this track. So if we can be at the forefront instead of at the rear of what God is doing, if we can lead the way, and if we can have the courage to actually see the Holy Spirit begin a brand new revolution and walk in that revolution of the Spirit and see God use us. Let me tell you what happened this week. I mentioned it in my email, but I want to tell you what happened. I had a stunning confirmation of this week. On Monday, I was actually mowing the lawns and I had my phone in my pocket and a phone call went off. I turned the lawnmower off and it was a business friend of mine who lives in Sydney. And he lives in a wealthy suburb in Sydney. And last year, God placed on his heart that he had met so many business people who were no longer going to church. And they didn't have a local church to go to. Some of the churches that they'd attended were dead. They were dying. And so he decided to open up his home. And he called business people once a month to come to his home. And he would pay for a guest speaker of high caliber to share. And it would normally be a testimony of how God had used this person in the marketplace, and how God wanted to begin to use them and anoint them in the marketplace. And slowly more people started turning up, until there's now 40 people that are turning up on a regular basis. And they're going from a monthly meeting to a fortnightly meeting in 2022. And we're close friends. This man's a messianic believer. He's of Jewish descent, and so he has a heart both for Israel but also for his fellow business people. And suddenly, out of the blue, he said, "James, I've been thinking about this for a year." He said, "Will you come over and help us start a church in our house in 2022?" He said, "I'll get you to come over to Sydney on a regular basis, and let's start a church movement over here in Sydney in 2022. And I was absolutely stunned as I realized that the Holy Spirit is not only talking to us about this, but he's talking to others, because people just want to be effective. They don't want to be in a place of dead worship. They don't want to be in a place where God's not moving. They want to be in a place where the Spirit of God is real, where the Holy Spirit's moving. And so in this house now, what they're doing is that he's opened up the end of these meetings now to saying, if you want somebody to pray with you, then you go downstairs and we'll have a prayer team waiting for you in the house. And so their last meeting that they had a man and his wife who were there. They listened to this guest speaker. They felt compelled to go down. The prayer team were down there, and they weren't even Christians. They didn't even know the Lord. So they got led to the Lord right there and then in the basement of the house. And so this is exciting. So I got off the phone, and no sooner had I got off the phone, 10 minutes later, 10 minutes later, I get a call from South Africa. There's amazing things that come out of South Africa. Amen, Tobias, Anel, Ryan, Chantel. Amazing things come out of South Africa. Hallelujah. And now, listen. This guy, I've only ever talked to this guy once before in my whole life, and it was in 2014. I'd just come out of Countdown in Westgate, and I got a phone call on WhatsApp from my phone, and it was this South African prophet, and he I've never met him. I don't know him. I found out later on that he's a genuine prophet, and he brought me the word of the Lord in 2014. Can you believe I've just talked about starting a church in Sydney, and he prophesies, he rings me 5 minutes after this phone call. He says, "I'm praying for you right now. It's nighttime in South Africa. I've got a burden on you. I couldn't just pray for you. I had to prophesy over you." And so here's some of the excerpts of what he said, and there's a lot more. I didn't want to fill up the time for you, but here's some of the things that this prophet said. He said, "James, you've been one of the sons in New Zealand crying out for revival in the land. You are part of the army that is going to bring in the Acts Church." Can you believe the wording in that? "That's going to bring in the Acts Church and the fullness of Pentecost. You and your wife at this time will be vessels of hope, vessels of truth, and vessels of restoration for broken pastors, many broken churches, and broken Christians." And then listen to this. Now, when he said this, I just began to laugh and laugh. He said, "God says this is going to go international at this time." Now, remember, I've just got off the phone. I've just got off the phone talking about going international in 2022. This is exciting, church. And he went on to say, "You will activate ministries at a large scale," says God. Well, guess what? God's going to activate large-scale ministry by going small-scale. Right around the world, houses of worship, houses of faith, houses where, you know, faith points of faith are going to take place in people's life all around the world as we begin to be and God's destiny. Man, I'm so excited. I couldn't tell you. I was nearly weeping as I got the second call. Just absolutely incredible that you'll get a confirmation so quickly. And it's really given me a boldness and a courage to step into what God is doing. I don't know how it's all going to work, church, but I know this. This is the Spirit of God speaking to us. And as we're obedient. So as we finish this part of the message, I just want to let's look at this rock wall, for example. Let's just imagine this is the wall of destiny in your life. You've got to get from the bottom to the top to reach God's call over your life. And I believe that there's three crucial steps for all of us to be able to climb this wall of destiny in our lives. And the first thing that I believe, the next handhold that God is looking for you for, and I want you to think about this over the summer break, is saying, Lord, what is the next handhold, the foothold that you want me to latch onto in my life to take the next step of climbing up into my spiritual destiny? And the first step or handhold is personal responsibility. You know, no one else is responsible for your walk with Jesus except for you. And God is saying by His Spirit this time, I want my people to own the call of God over their lives. I don't want them to rely on a mechanism, a system, a church building. I want them to own personal responsibility for the calling of God on my life. God is taking me somewhere new next year, and I'm going to go with Him. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, which will lead, I believe, to the greatest personal growth ever in my life. The second handhold is personal connections. I want to ask you this question today. Who am I currently connected with in my church? What efforts have I made to build meaningful relationships with others? Have I grown comfortable with the one or two people that I may know? And so next week, as we meet in the park, as we meet in little groups all over the park, we're going to have groups of 4 to 8 people so that we can pray with each other, share with each other. We can open the word and share what God has spoken to us next week in the park. You know, why don't you take some steps of faith and swap some contact details with others at the picnic next week and enter that new journey of becoming known to others and beginning to know new people in your life. Open up your life to personal connections that you may not have had up until this point of time. You know, God never calls us to live as an island on our own in the body of Christ. We're joined. You know, my arm is joined to my torso. My leg is joined to my torso, I hope. And, you know, the body is all connected with these relational connections. And so I believe it's time for us, as we head into the micro church next year, it's time for us to take that step out of our comfort zone and to begin to build authentic, real, personal relationships with others as we begin to invite one another into our own homes. And last of all, this morning, personal vision. You know, Lord, how do you want to work through my life in 2022? What's the vision that you're holding for me? What's my next steps that you want me to take as I pull myself up into this wall of destiny? Lord, speak to me. Give me personal vision. Let your kingdom come, your will being done in my life today, tomorrow, next week. I want your kingdom to come through my life in 2022. So Lord, I'm going to begin to pray that one of the handholds that I hold on to that pulls me up that wall of destiny is going to be me understanding the vision, the plans, the purposes. I'm going to give you a future and a hope, amen, for my life in 2022.